a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire.
It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Razzball Basketball Podcast. It is Wednesday, November 12th, 2014. I'm your host, JB Gilpin. Here with me always is Slim. And how was your last night of hoops action, Slim?
Oh, it was great. Got to watch a Milwaukee Bucks win.
Woo! Two in a row for the Bucks.
They scored 85 points.
I know. And they beat definitely a fully healthy OKC team, right?
Yeah, they'll score 78 points when Kevin Durant and Westbrook are healthy.
Against the Bucks.
No doubt.
Jason Kidd, Coach of the Year. So for today, we're going to recap some of Tuesday's games and big performances. We've got our own Dan A. back on the show. He is our Raptors expert, as well as our buy-sell guru. And we're going to then preview some games tonight on Wednesday. But I have a question for you. You know, as soon as I put the title on yesterday's podcast, I thought to myself, maybe we should talk in British accents and say big words all day today. It was a little childish title. What do you think?
I think I'm going to sound like an idiot trying to talk in a British accent.
Yeah, I don't think I'm really going to try either. But let's try to. I'm going to try to thesaurusize some words. That's a word, right? Thesaurusize.
All right. Thesaurically speaking, I'll do my best.
All right, so I'm searching in the thesaurus. Good. Let's see some good cinnamons. Some good cinnamons. I like cinnamon. This year so far, Tobias Harris has been exceptional. He's been congenial. That doesn't sound like a good word.
No, sounds like a terrible Sandra Bullock movie to me.
He has been a favorable fantasy option this year.
Wow. To say the least.
Spankings on here.
It's good for me.
Tobias Harris has definitely done some spanking work this year. Another great line for Tobias Harris. 23-13-5-1-1 last night. Unfortunately for real basketball, the Magic choked after being up against the Raptors. But he's actually been ridiculous this year. He's hit at least one of points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks now in six straight games. And I think a big concern coming into the year was in that big stretch he had in the second half of 12-13. You know, he was at 0.9 steals and 1.4 blocks. But then last year, down to 0.7 steals, 0.4 blocks. So those defensive stats just really disappeared. Rebounds went down 8.5 to 7. You know, did lose 6 minutes a game, but, you know, with those minutes back up and those defensive stats there again, you know, he's chipping in almost a three a game. Is he a top 50 player for you the rest of the way?
I mean, you know, the Yahoo ranking doesn't quite have him at that. And I guess the problem is the three turnovers and 43% shooting. But, yeah, I think he is. He looks healthy. I think that was the problem last year. That's what everyone kept saying, so maybe they were right.
Yeah, had the bad ankle sprain last year, limited him to only 61 games. So always been an 80% free throw shooter on top of it. I think he's got to be a top 50 player. I mean, he's just doing everything on top of high volume scoring.
Old age of 22.
I mean, is he really that different than Chandler Parsons? I mean, Parsons will hit more threes, but...
Well, you were hoping Parsons would give assists. I don't know if those have quite come around yet. But they're pretty close. I mean, Parsons has more threes. But yeah, they're eerily similar.
Is he really that much different than Rudy Gay?
Look at Parsons hitting 86% of his free throws.
Yeah, but I mean, Tobias at 80, you know.
Yeah, they're really similar.
And your boyfriend, Gordon Hayward, is Tobias really that different? I mean, Hayward's better. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, Doug. Don't throw your shoe at me. Hayward's got the good assist. He's a little better. But is Harris really that much different?
As long as Hayward's shooting 50%, yeah, it's a big difference. But Hayward isn't going to continue shooting 50%. mean, that's where that whole Labradoodle was coined from, was his game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go and trade Gordon Hayward away and get Tobias, but, yeah, they're not that different.
Yeah, and I was low on Tobias at the very first ranks in, what, August or whatever. But then looking at his draft rankings, had him right in the middle at 86. His overall Fantasy Pros aggregate was 91. So wasn't high, wasn't low. Good thing I moved him up through preseason, or else that would have looked terrible. So
yeah, I got him in one RCL at 102.
Wow. I mean, that's,
yeah, that worked out well.
Yeah, and I mean, another big man that's having kind of one of those big breakouts, and this is one I definitely liked, is Jordan Hill. Man, he's been awesome this year. Had a rainbow line last night. He's a, you know, one of those forwards that went 100-ish that are really leading teams right now. Is he approaching a top 50 player for you?
Yeah, with 30-plus minutes, I think we always thought that was the case. But he just never got those minutes. And I love him shooting 76% free throws, too.
Yeah, he's looking pretty impressive. And, I mean, that if you – I mean, imagine if you had a team where you've hit on most of your other picks and you had Harris and Hill late. I mean
– yeah, you're in first place.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm looking up his ECR, but I'm having trouble here. Apparently there's a Jordan Hill on the Seattle Seahawks. What the? I've never heard of him. But yeah, I mean, looking at Jordan Hill's ADP, I mean, you know, consensus 122, Yahoo 111, and we had him in the late 80s, early 90s or something like that. So he's a guy that's end up on a lot of my teams. And
you, well, you got me thinking. Yeah, that team with Tobias Harris, I do have Jordan Hill.
Do you really?
Yeah, and I am not in first place.
Well, who'd you miss on?
Well, Kemba hasn't been great. Yeah. Fareed hasn't been great. Millsap hasn't been great. So, you know.
Yeah, but at least...
But, you know, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
This team's got Harden on it and Markieff. Not worried. Man, that's my number one team.
Yeah, that's probably going to be one of your best teams. So yeah, he'll. I mean, if we're both thinking he's right at that top 50 fringe, I mean, is he? Would you rather have Hill or Fareed?
Yeah, that's really tough. I mean, I think Hill's actually getting more minutes, which should not be happening. God, reluctantly, man, I think I do. Fareed's hitting his free throws. He's blocking over a shot a game. That's so tough.
And you love Fareed, so I think that tells you a lot about Jordan Hill. And I think it's a guy that a lot of people aren't valuing as kind of that Fareed value in the 50-ish range. He's a guy to go get if you can. I mean, it's buying high, which, you know, you don't always love to do. But if you need a big man, he's a guy to go out and get.
Yeah, I wouldn't start with Fareed if I was going after Jordan Hill. But
No. I'm not saying
that. Would I eventually get to that and accept it? Man, maybe.
I mean, what if you could give up, like, Bogut and a sweetener for Hill? I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Oh, I'd do Bogut for Hill all day.
Yeah, exactly. And
huge upgrade.
Trying to think of, like, oh, I bet Pekovic. Pekovic gets overvalued. Pekovic and a sweetener for Jordan Hill.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's not close.
So those are some trades that you can think about to improve your big man stats. Switching over to the Thragnoffs. How about a terrible haircut 40-year-old virgin? 24 points last night, 24-2-2, and 3 steals. Well, the steals are an outlier. He had 1 steal on the season before that. But multi-threes the past 3 games, 20-19, and 24 points scored. He's putting the ball in the basket. That's what you want your Thragnoffs to do. Is he a must-own slash stream while he's hot right now?
Oh, yeah, while he's playing. Before Oladipo gets back, he has to be owned.
Yeah.
He's putting up way too many numbers right now. And just so people know, I gave JB the option of Solomon Hill, Jeremy Lamb, or Fournier for this week in Friends and Family. And he chose Fournier.
Woo! Good choice for me.
That was a good, good call.
Yeah, and it's a guy we're probably only going to play for this week now that we'll have Michael Carter-Williams back for next week. But yeah, giving us a 24-2-2-3-0 line and 4 threes in his first game. That was that's looking good for us, and I think they have a 4-game week this week as well. So
yeah, they played New York tonight.
Yeah, so if you're in a limited moves week, you know, if you can pick them up today and you get three games this week out of him without needing to make any other moves, and you can drop him on Sunday and pick up another guy. So definitely a guy to look for there. A guy that's sticking with the Magic that. Man, ooh, Jack Vaughn sure put Elfrid on the shelfred last night.
Oh, that was a good one. One of your better transitions.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, what happened? Only 19 minutes last night. How worried are you?
I mean, maybe it was just the Lowry effect. You know, he had 29 the night before, 39 before that. No, maybe he just didn't play well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his stat line, one or two shots, 2-1-3-0-0, did have two turnovers, had three fouls, and, you know, maybe he was having a tough time guarding. But, I mean, to play Luke Ridenour about 30 minutes is horrific, and then Orlando lost the game anyway. So hopefully this is just a teaching moment, and, you know, I'm not dropping Elfrid Payton anywhere, are you?
No, I don't need to.
Yeah, I mean, with these rookies, you have to go through a couple ebbs and flows like this.
Oh, especially really early in the year. Yeah. No surprises. You know, what I'm really worried about, though, is, you know, they could start Oladipo at point guard and Fournier at shooting guard. Why not?
Yeah, the way Fournier's playing, stretching the floor, Magic need guys that can hit threes. You know, Depot's not going to do that, and that's a big reason they got Fry. That actually, yeah, now that I'm thinking about that, that is a concern. I could see that too. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if I could get a decent offer, someone thinks they're buying low on Elfrid, and I got something good in return, I'd take it. There's too many questions right now.
Yeah.
It's not like he's blowing the world up when he is playing big minutes.
Well, yeah. And another rookie kind of in that same boat is Jabari Parker. All of a sudden, the minutes down to 20.5 last night. As we mentioned, those Bucks went in two in a row, and Parker, like Elfrid, not setting the world on fire. He's been usable and decent, getting some good steals. But how worried are you for Jabari Parker seeing the minutes go way down last night?
I don't know. Do you think it continues? That's 5 in a row under 30. It's scary. Kidd is just killing fantasy for the Bucks right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it was so annoying because that was one of our big debates was I thought Parker was going to get close to that 34-minute range, and you had him pegged closer to 30. You're looking definitely right there as he's under 29. But first three games, he was, you know, 37, then 31, then 34 minutes, had two double-doubles.
But it was not based – my projection was not based off of Ilyasova getting 24 minutes, though.
Yeah, Ilyasova's starting. It's just stupid. And then, you know, Pachulia's a decent player.
He's playing well, too. And what's his name? Larry Sanders was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
Which he very commonly is.
Yeah.
So I'm not too – I think Sanders isn't really getting hurt too bad by the rotations right now.
Yeah, I think Sanders is pretty safe as well. I don't know. Pachulia had a – did you see that I linked in today's article? He had an awesome steal and then assist at the end of it. He had a great play. But I think you're just holding Parker and hoping for the best. I wouldn't, sell low. I wouldn't drop. But it's definitely tough right now. So let's do a quick blind resume. You ready for this, Slim?
I got you.
This is going to be awesome. You're going to love this.
You're not giving it away this time.
Last time I did give it away beforehand, so that wasn't as fun. This time, not so much. All right, player A. These are both point guards, okay? Player A, 10.1 points, 1.8 rebounds, 4.6 assists, some pretty good assists, and 1.5 steals, some good steals.
Not terrible. Is he making a 3.5 too?
Chipping in 1.3 threes.
Oh, that's my boy Chalmers.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you you're wrong, but keep that in mind. Hitting 44.6 field goal percentage, so shooting well too.
Okay.
That's player A. Player B, also point guard, 10.3 points, almost exactly the same. 3.7 boards, so more rebounds. 2.7 assists, so cut the assists in half. 0.3 steals, cut the steals by 500%.
But yeah, hitting, someone ain't playing well.
But hitting 2.3 threes and shooting 50%.
Okay. So shooting 50%.
Mm-hmm. But 10.3 points, so not like a ton of points, but shooting 50%. So, you know, you got some pluses and minuses for both, but they sound somewhat even, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of threes. I mean...
Yeah, but the other guy set 4.6 assists to 2.7 yeah. assists. And the 1.5 yeah. steals to 0.3
yeah,
steals.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I think I would go with number A.
All right, you're not going to like your answer when you realize who these are.
Well, let me take a guess first. I said Chalmers for the first one. That was wrong.
That's wrong.
The second one... I mean, it sounds like Terrence Ross.
But no, they're point guards, so it's not yeah. Ross.
Man, that guy's playing terrible. Yeah, I don't know. It's not Jameer. He ain't hitting that many.
No.
I don't know.
I'll give you an easy hint. Player B has only played 3 games. He's had a couple injuries, but nothing too bad. He'll be back soon.
Oh, he's currently out.
Yeah.
So it's Beverly.
Yep. So, player A is Devin Harris.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, what does that say about Devin Harris?
It says he's healthy and Beverly's not.
Yeah, and it also says Jameer Nelson is terrible, which is very true. So, I don't know. I think Devin Harris is in the needs to be owned in 12-team leagues.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be... I don't know if I would really drop Beverly for Harris. But if I was looking to stream, then sure. Beverly isn't, you know, it's not like he's a must own, especially if he ain't giving you close to 2 threes.
Yeah.
He's hurt, and that's, what is hurt on him anyway? If it's a foot, then I'm really not thrilled.
It's his hammy, but it sounds like it's not something that's going to linger for months, just a couple more games.
Yeah, he plays so hard.
I know. That is a little bit of a concern with the hamstring. I don't know. If I own Patrick Beverly and I'm looking at least another week out probably, I might grab Devin Harris. I mean, I'd try to drop someone else, but...
Yeah. And, you know, I'd probably go with Cannon first.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Harris is, you know, off a nice game where he went 12-2-5 and 3 steals. The game before was his worst game of the season, but everything else... has been consistent. He's gotten at least a steal every game, multi-assists every game. It's nothing huge volume, and he's only got 1 3 in the past 4 games, but I'm pretty impressed. And with Jameer Nelson, also with a hamstring issue, his doesn't sound as serious. I think Devin Harris deserves a little bit of attention.
Yeah, I've seen him picked up and dropped in a couple of leagues.
Interesting.
He's going to be up and down.
Yeah, I think so too.
If he ever gets a starting job, he'd be great, but I don't think he can survive it.
Well,
I don't think he can survive 28 minutes a night, let alone 30-something.
Yeah, he's only at 26 and a half right now. I think he might
good,
start...
Good spot for him, I think.
He might start Thursday, so if he's out there and you're at least looking at one upside game, if Nelson is indeed out, then that would be a good one.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Awesome. Glad to have you back on the show. Would love having you on.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much for having me.
Cool.
I'm excited. I thought you might bring me in to some Queen music or something like that. But
I wish. We're not starting yet, but we're about to.
Oh, okay. Well, it'll be far less funny when I say it the second time.
Oh, I'll laugh twice as hard. So maybe we should just include this interim and make this the intro. I don't know.
It's okay. No, I yeah, man. It's been a really exciting season so far. I don't know how you guys are. If you're feeling overwhelmed yet, or if you're just chomping at the bit. This is amazing so far.
Yeah, it's been a good year. Screw this. We're just gonna unedit and go from here. Who really cares? This is a stream of consciousness podcast anyway.
Sure.
All right. So, yeah, it's been a good year for you, particularly for your Raptors. What are they, 7-1 now? Is that correct?
They are 7-1, yes. A hard-fought 7-1. I say that tongue-in-cheek because they actually have, haven't met too many hardened teams just yet, but we all know you should beat the teams you should beat, so the record doesn't lie. But I'm more excited to see how they do this Thursday against the Bulls, because that will be quite the test.
I'd say that could be an Eastern Conference Finals or semifinals kind of game. Yeah, and your guys survived the Magic last night. And you looked a little troublesome for a little bit there.
It's so maddening. And here's the thing. Obviously, I'm a homer. But, you know, I recognize that my team is yet to be elite. But here's the thing. They have a lot of young talent. I'm sure you guys have spoken about them at length, but, you know, Tobias Harris, he's a beast. And Vucevic is just, I mean, he's nothing short of an animal. Guy's so mobile out there. He can shoot mid-range. He can pass. I think he had 6 dimes. Like, just, yeah. It's crazy. So it's, I think we got caught looking past the opponent at hand, looking towards Thursday against Chicago. But we were able to pull it out in the end, so, you know, thank goodness for that. But certainly, we played from behind for, you know, 3 quarters. It's not the sort of thing you should do. It's certainly not displaying killer instinct.
So. Yeah, and a guy not displaying killer instinct right now is Jonas Valanciunas, all the way down to 20 and a half minutes last night, 4.7 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 turnovers, no blocks, shot 1-for-5. He's down to under 23 minutes a game. How concerned are you fantasy-wise for Valanciunas' value?
I mean, he's maddening. There's no question. It's hard to defend him right now. But I would say this, that, you know, in this particular game, for example, Vucevic makes a lot of people look bad. But JV's got to get better in the pick and roll to keep his minutes up. I mean, that's obvious. But Orlando went with Channing Frye at the five. They went really small. So, you know, it does make sense that his minutes, it is a matchup thing in this particular game. Overall, in terms of fantasy, he has only had a double-double, I think, 1 game thus far. And I have been very high on him. I still think that he'll do far better than what he's producing right now. But it is certainly concerning. There's no doubt. 1-for-5 for a big man is just unacceptable.
Yeah. So. And a guy getting a lot of the minutes in Valanciunas' stead last night was James Johnson, the per 36 monster, 6'10", 2-1-1, hitting all the categories, shooting 2 or 4. He can chip in a 3 every now and then, shoots good percents. Is James Johnson going to get more run with that awesome neck tattoo he has?
I still am trying to figure it out. Does it say Mayhem, or is it? I don't quite know.
I'm looking at it now, and it.
I'm not going to ask the guy. Believe me, he's a monster. But in terms of fantasy production, you know, obviously, as you say, his per 36 is off the charts. He's very enticing, but I think it really would take, you know, an injury for him to get up to 30 minutes. He really hovers around, you know, the 18 to 22 minute. And in some games, you know, as a streamer, he can be great for you. But, you know, to be a permanent guy in your rotation, he's more of a, if you were to ask a Magic 8-ball, like, should I watch for James Johnson and an injury, it would come up as, like, all signs point to yes or something like that. Right? So, but I would say, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. I think that he's not yet a guy that you would have in your regular rotation. He's just to keep an eye on right now.
Yeah, Slim, do you think 14 teamers should probably own him just for the steals and blocks?
Yeah, it's tough. I looked up what his neck tattoo says. It's the name of his son. Oh. And you never would have guessed that spelling.
No, he's named his son Mayhem?
No, it's N-A-Y-M-I-N.
M-A-Y-N-A-N-I-N?
N-A-Y-M-I-N. Naaman.
Oh, well, Wheel of Fortune for the Raptors' offspring is going to get a lot of wrong answers.
That's right.
I need to see a little more out of James Johnson. I need to see a regular 20-minute role.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's almost kind of like his production is like a poor man's McDaniels sort of thing. He comes up with blocks. I think he's the kind of guy where his actual impact in a game is much more valuable than a fantasy impact at any rate. Like he plays hard enough to get minutes, but then he'll do things like get a great steal and then go up and miss a six-footer, not even hit the rim sort of thing. So I don't know. They really, I think, are limiting his shots. That's a concern for me, is that he rarely, I think, in order to get minutes, he has to keep his shots to, you know, four or five, unless he's got a wide open dunk. So that could be a concern, I think.
Yeah, and he is a good defender, so mm-hmm. agree with you there. So transitioning a little bit to your buy sell, you're moving your buy sell to Wednesday. It's a hump day. And sticking with the Raptors, one of your buys today was Terrence Ross. Had another good game last night, 17 or more points in three straight, hit four threes in three straight, getting good percents. He's got three steals the last three games. Are you as impressed with Terrence Ross, and do you think he's going to be 12-team worthy for the rest of the year?
I believe that he's doing well. He's settling into a role. It is definitely like a Thragnoff kind of role. He's not going to give you too much in terms of blocks and steals. Maybe hovering, you know, at the 0.7, you know, but he's not going to be that kind of guy, which is also frustrating to see because he has this ability to defend when he wants to. It's just, you know, he's one of those guys. He's got to learn to turn it on at all times. But in terms of a 12-teamer, I would think that he would be a safe guy. Four three-pointers per game in the last three is pretty good. And high teens and points, I think, is certainly worthy to have.
Figured you and Slim could have a little KJ McDaniels powwow. You guys' boyfriend, he's playing well. I think I looked a little wrong not to be as high on KJ.
It's I think always for fantasy, if you're looking for guys to make major moves, it's always on these teams that are, you know, in flux that you really see things going up and down. So he has the ability. It's not like he's beating out a guy with a 16, you know, mil a year contract. So the minutes are out there for him, and he's just a beast with the blocks. It's ridiculous for a guy who's, you know, a small forward. So you've got to love that kind of production out of position. If he can keep it up, I mean, he's a guy who can help you win that category, you know, week to week, just with him sort of thing. So.
And he looks so comfortable out there. He's got like a swagger about him that it doesn't look like the game's moving too fast, or it doesn't look like he's unprepared for the matchup. He looks good, and I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And again, it's the sort of thing. It's juxtaposed against the, you know, Philly looks so bad that, you know, you don't have to really worry, like, looking over your shoulder, so...
Yep. Yeah, those Imba Amute minutes are crushing.
That's like a punchline, Imba Amute. So say you had equal needs in all categories. You didn't really need threes. You didn't really need blocks. You just need overall production. Who are you guys going to take? Are you going to take Terrence Ross, or are you going to take KJ McDaniels?
Damn you.
I've been killing Slim with the one guy or the other this podcast.
I mean, they both are kind of, you know, specialists in that regard. I would say that Terrence Ross has, you know, much more solid chance at the minutes that he's been getting. I mean, he's between, if you look back his last six games, he hasn't dipped below 24 minutes in, you know, in under 24 minutes in one game only. So it's going to get you about 25 to 32 minutes a game. So there's that. But McDaniels, I don't know. I mean, I maybe I'm just being a homer, but I would say probably Terrence Ross would edge him right now for me.
Yeah, I don't think anyone doesn't need blocks.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think I would go with KJ. I think there's upside there for more minutes because of how terrible Philly is. Whereas Toronto needs to win games, and if they need Lou Williams or Grievous Vasquez to give them the minutes to win, I think they'll just do it.
Yeah, that's fair, except that Grievous actually hasn't been playing very well, so right now he's not pushing anybody. But the point is valid. I think that obviously they're not in developmental mode like Philly is, so KJ might be the one. And he, as Slim says, I mean, he looks silky smooth out there. He doesn't look bothered at all. And it's, I mean, I saw him put a beat down on the Raptors, even though the Raptors in turn beat the team. But he is slick, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's those guys are definitely close. I think it's KJ for me, but, you know, I did say regardless of needs, I'd say your needs dictate which one of those two you need to get if both are available. Yeah,
exactly.
One guy you had mentioned as your buy that I disagree with a tiny bit is Pau Gasol. Having a good year, and I wouldn't give him away for nothing, but he's actually at, this would be his second highest rebounding per game rate at 11.1. He's only been over 11 once. That was in 2009-2010. And his blocks is at a career high pace at 2.4. Like I said, he's playing well. He's a guy that's going to, you know, his assists should go up. He's only at 2 assists a game. Usually he's about 3.5. But I don't know. I think the rebounds and blocks might go down a little bit. What are you seeing out of Gasol that thinks he's going to keep it up?
Well, we've always known he's a great passing big. So in that regard, he's certainly going to, you know, play within his means. He does, he's not a black hole to take the ball in, which helps fantasy players. The other thing is really, you know, Coach Thibodeau is a guy who is not at all afraid to ride his horses till, you know, he puts them in the glue factory, right? So I just think, like, he's been playing 35 minutes a game with no signs of that letting up. I know that Noah's been in and out of the lineup, but his minutes were the same when he was in and when he wasn't playing. So I just think that there's an opportunity here for him to maintain that. Of course, I see what you're saying. I don't think that he's a two-block a game guy, but if say that drops down to 1.5 a game, 1.7, is he not still a great guy to have on your roster, sort of thing? So I just think that he is a guy who right now is doing everything that you want from a big man to be able to get, you know, that many dimes, blocks. He gets the odd steal even. I mean, he just looks really, really tantalizing to me.
Gotcha. So yeah, if anyone's worried about Pau Gasol, maybe go out and try to get him if you can. Thanks again for joining us. Buy, sell out every Wednesday afternoon for the rest of the year, and you have yourself a good rest of your afternoon, man. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, guys. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye now.
Thanks again for Dan for hopping on with us, and it's time to look ahead to some Wednesday games, and first with our 30-point challenge, where my commanding 2-0 lead maintained as we both missed last night. What do you have to say for yourself? Still with 0 in the 30-point challenge.
Is it really 0? Is it really 0?
It's really 0.
Uh-huh.
It's like a 0 with an underline.
I'm just going to ride that one Cousins call all year long. The one you stole from me.
Well, you can pick Cousins again today, but I don't think the Kings play.
Yeah, so. I don't think I'm going to win that.
So quick recap of the top 10 scorers. Kobe, Curry, Harden, James, Davis, Klay Thompson still in there, Griffin, Bosch, Aldridge, and Gay are now. I think Aldridge was in it before, but now Rudy Gay's in the top 10 scorers. So those you cannot pick. Who do you have for tonight for 30 points?
Oh, man, I would have loved to have picked Anthony Davis against the Lakers. That's going to be disgusting. He's got Boozer guarding him. Do I have that right?
I don't think you can use the word guarding. Boozer's standing there.
This is true. Oh, who do we got? Who's Philly play?
No,
they don't play till tomorrow.
Yeah, they're off till tomorrow, till MCW's return.
Well, I'm going to have to go with Reggie as long as he's playing that many minutes.
Interesting. So Reggie Jackson for you. I literally have given this no thought before.
That would be a career high 30, by the way.
Really? He's never scored 30?
No, he had career high 29 last night.
Yeah, I picked him earlier in the year, and that was the game where he had 13 points and 13 assists. If only assists helped the overall numbers. You want to know who isn't a top 10 scorer that probably will be is Carmelo Anthony, all the way down at 20.3 points a game. Going against,
I hope so.
Going against
everyone that's drafting him's sake, I hope so.
Yeah, going against the Magic tonight. It's in Madison Square Garden. Same thing with Channing Frye. Well, Channing Frye's a little bit better defender than Carlos Boozer, but
I imagine the Knicks are still going to play Carmelo at the four. Seems to be working.
Yeah, so I will pick Carmelo Anthony for my 30-point scoring tonight.
Sounds good.
So looking ahead to other action tonight, Patrick Beverley, who we talked about earlier, still out. I like Isaiah Cannon as a streamer today. I put him in the article this morning. I think going against Zach LaVine and maybe some Mo Williams minutes, you know, Cannon's not going to give you assists. Don't expect more than maybe three assists, but he's had multiple threes and a steal in five straight games. So
he's a streaky scorer.
Yeah.
He could get hot.
I think, you know, usually Wednesdays are a little bit more filled than this. How many games we got? We got nine games, so there's still 12 teams off. Yeah, I could see a lot of teams having an open roster spot. I think Cannon is a good play in that game against the Timberwolves.
We're still unsure about, what's his name? Batum, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's been any update on that. Let me look that up real quick, but as I put
doesn't look like McCollum was a good call.
It was not. It turned out that Steve Blake got a lot of the extra minutes. He's actually been playing pretty well. He was in the intro. If you need a guy that's going to give you some mediocre point guard assists, I think I'd or point guard stats, I think I'd rather play Cannon over Blake. But yeah, oh, that's right. Nicholas Batum's not going to be out. Is not going to be back until early next week. Targeting. Okay. Monday, so he will be out again tonight, so be sure to account for that.
Yeah, I really like Blake on Portland. That was a really good ad, considering Lillard really isn't a very good defender. They can kind of switch him off with Blake if they need it. That was a really good off-season move that I didn't really pay attention to.
Yeah, so was Chris Kaman. I paid attention to the Kaman one, because Kaman had some good games for the Lakers last year. It's just D'Antoni would never play him because D'Antoni was the worst.
You'd get 30 minutes and then a DNP the next
night. Yeah, it was crazy. And you know, Kamen's got, I think it's 7 blocks the past 2 games. You know, he's scoring a little bit. He's kind of in that, I'd rather have Gorgie Jang, but kind of in that Jang, Ed Davis bench guy that's going to get some blocks and play pretty well. Maybe, you know, he gets a, you know, closer to 20 minutes again tonight. But yeah, that Blazers second unit is just so improved from last year. So that's been good for them. Did you have a Kobe Bryant guest line in any of the comments today? I didn't see it.
No, against New Orleans, huh?
Yeah. What do you got him for tonight?
A good matchup for him. Except I think New Orleans is going to run over him. So I'm going to go with, how about 17 points on 22 shots?
Whoa!
I'll go with about... Yeah, 4 rebounds and 3 assists.
Oh, that's a rough game for him.
That's a rough one. Huh. Yeah.
I am completely on the flip side. You figure some sort of mix of Eric Gordon and Tyreek Evans on him. I had him this morning. I put him for 33, 5, and 3 on 31 shots. So I think he has a big game. I think it's a fireworks game. I think there's a lot of offense.
Very well possible. Unlike that Orlando-New York game, I imagine.
Yeah, that should be boring, except for Carmelo Anthony scoring 30 points for me.
I'd love to see Melo and Tobias just kind of, you know, switch baskets, rotate baskets. That would be kind of fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
They're good matchups for each other.
Yeah, both, you know, pretty quick. You know, you'd imagine Carmelo plays a little bit more physical, closer to the basket, Harris a little quicker. Yeah, that'll be a fun one to watch. Tamari Carroll is out with a groin strain. Thabo Sefolosha is going to get a start. I mentioned him as a streamer for some very low-end rebounds and steals, but against the Jazz.
Utah 500 team yet? Nope, 3-5. Almost.
Almost, yeah. Well, when they lost, they lost to the Magic, right? A couple of games ago.
I'm not really paying that much attention, but
they lost to someone bad. Anything else for tonight that's got your interest for this Wednesday?
It's kind of a weak slate of games. I mean, do I really have to watch Phoenix and Brooklyn?
No.
Houston and Minnesota, Miami and Indy. Yeah, this is kind of a rough slate of games. I mean, Boston against half of OKC isn't bad. It's at least even teams, you know.
Yeah.
I might actually wind up watching that Lakers game. I haven't seen enough Brow this year. I want to watch one of those 30-15, three steals, six block games or whatever.
This would be the game to do it, too, against Carlos Boozer, taking those horrific fadeaways. Yeah, I think that might be one of the game that gets my most attention. I'll probably watch some of the Rockets-T-Wolves games because I usually can pay more attention to the late game. And I want to watch Isaiah Cannon score and then sell him high to you and Ariel since you and Patrick Beverly. So.
Yeah, I mean, since we're talking about Boozer, you know he's actually, like, been usable the past couple games?
Yeah, I know.
It's tough to accept, but...
I refuse to accept it.
Okay, that's good enough.
There you go.
So, that's all I need to hear. Ed Davis will take his job eventually.
If you want the best fantasy advice, you obviously come to Razzball, where I refuse to accept stats and objective facts. Like Robin Lopez, I refuse to accept that he's fantasy usable.
Yeah, just like, you know, Tristan. He gave a couple of good games, and I refused to accept it. Yeah, looks like he's back to his old ways.
But I think that one's more acceptable than Boozer or friggin' Robin Lopez out there. So
Boozer or Tristan right now, who you got?
I'd take Boozer.
Just had to pick somebody where you would say Boozer.
I hate you. You ruined my day because I had to pick Boozer over someone. So. All right, man. I think that's going to do it for us for today. We're back tomorrow. We've got a very special guest on tomorrow, plus looking ahead to movies. I've seen a couple good movies this week, so it'll be fun catching up with you there. And we'll catch you tomorrow, man.
All right. Talk to you later.